His name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. May I speak in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Do sit down. There's a prayer that we don't often hear in Holy Trinity. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed be the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Words that come from our gospel reading in St. Luke this morning, but one of the most famous prayers of Christendom that focuses our thoughts, our meditations, our pondering, our prayers on and perhaps through Mary, the mother of Christ. And it's her that we remember in the church on this fourth Sunday of Advent. The lady over there to my right, hidden behind the flowers, holding up her son for the world, carrying God into the world, but kind of fading into the background herself. She could do with a touch of paint, perhaps, to bring her. But at Christmas time, often stepping forward to take centre stage in our nativity plays, in our Christmas carols, and reminding us of some of that long and rich cultural heritage that we have in the church, that we share with Christians down the centuries, that celebrates Mary's role in some of our most beautiful, really moving art and music. Mary's story, in different ways, touches every one of us, child and adult, woman and man. Even the staunchest Protestant who would rankle at any hint of worshipping Mary, Mariolatry, we don't do that, would remember her at Christmas time and her unique role in the story of our redemption. Even the most ardent feminist, determined that we are not going to promote sanctity at the cost of sexuality, will still take time to embrace our sister Mary, our great sister, in wisdom, in courage, in justice. And so today for all of us on the eve of Christmas, Mary is that figure who draws us with her to contemplation, to prayer, to obedience. And as we pause, it was my pleasure to light the candle today, to light Mary's candle, to let some of her grace shine into all of our hearts and lives. Where do we begin? Most highly favoured lady in that lovely carol. And I found myself this Christmas pondering the dozens and hundreds of different images of Mary that come down to us, all the different ways that she's been played out in our cultural history, our spiritual history. So I thought, as it's Christmas Eve, I'd just bring you a selection of my own Christmas cards that show the sheer diversity of Mary and raise some thoughts, some questions, some challenges for us in different ways. They are very diverse. I have a good wide range of friends, believe me. So this one, and you'll not see it. I may pass them around, actually. Would that work if I pass them around? You'd like to? We're not quite a children's service, but it's that sort of mood. Don't read the messages on the inside, because some of them may be entirely scurrilous. This is a beautiful one. Let's start with the classics. This is from the Florentine Renaissance. And that's a beautiful card, a picture produced by Oxfam, that one. And a lot of the traditional features, this is a guy called Neri de Bici. She's got long blonde hair, she's serene, the mother and the child, lashings of gold all over it, sparkling, and just the sumptuous details of the gown, the halo. She's there with very prayerful hands, very still, and this deep, reverent gaze into the child's eyes and pointing us towards this lovely child who is very playful, very human and open-faced. And the whole picture is against this large cosmic backdrop of a big starry sky. So that's Renaissance Mary all the way through. Total contrast now. This is Christian Aid, okay? If it's Christian Aid, it's going to be black. So this is Patricia Brindle, and this is a very modern, contemporary Mary. Strong black features in Mary and her baby. She's a proud African woman standing erect with her very human infant. No royal robes, no ornate house, just this lovely, open African skyline and the hills rolling away there. And she has no halo, but what she has is the moon rising behind her head, almost like the gleam of a halo. And that one is called, rather wonderfully, Hope for the World, at a time when we may despair of hope and justice in our world. She stands there holding her child, a Madonna for justice, in the line of the Magnificat. I brought this, I had to. This is Hollywood Mary, I'm sure. This comes from the Mothers' Union, of all people. But this is a very, very dewy-eyed Mary, gazing sort of with a romantic look into the eyes of her little babe. And she and the baby both have very long, gorgeous eyelashes. And, it's lovely and it's heartwarming and it's slightly Mary Poppins and all that. It's Christmas, so we'll let them away. It's untroubled, but perhaps troublingly unreal to our experience. This one, I think, is my favourite this year. You may have come across this one. This was a guy at the end of the 19th century, Gary Melchers, and it's been around on social media quite a lot this Christmas. I think it speaks to us. It's a nativity scene where Mary is flat out with exhaustion on the stable floor. And she's lying there prostrated. She's done her task. She's brought the child to birth. And she is absolutely an exhausted postnatal mother. Rosie's smiling up at the organ loft here. Leaning her head against Joseph. And Joseph looks serious, looks worried at the weight of responsibility that is on him. But he is watching over both Mary and her child, and all we see of the child is this little bundle in a box on the floor. We see no features, because what comes out is just a glowing light from the child, this unreflected beauty of the infant there, an amazing juxtaposition of exhaustion and anxiety and sheer wonder in the stable. Very, very, very thought-provoking. Switch back in time. I told you I had diverse friends. This one comes from the Prayer Book Society, of all people. It's a medieval one. I think this is, Stefan Lochner, who was in Cologne, late Middle Ages. And this is called Mary of the Rose Bower. Layers upon layers of mystical theological symbolism in this Mary. She is queenly. She's a very, very noble woman, absolutely beautifully attired, with this fabulous tiara on her head, very, very regal indeed, sitting erect, holding the child on her lap in the pose that is called the throne of wisdom. So she is wisdom's throne, supporting and bearing her son for the world. But all the little details hint at some of the mystical reflection on the role of Mary. She has a large brooch, which is a unicorn brooch. And the unicorn was one of the great medieval symbols of the purity of Mary and the holy incarnation of Christ and the devotion between the two of them. That sits there. She sits in this wonderful and really beautifully, tenderly drawn bed of roses. And she herself, in the Old Testament tradition and Christian reflection, is the mystic rose who gives birth to her child. And then the final little touch, if you've got your reading glasses on, you might spot it, is that the baby has in his hand a little apple. And there are apples in the background and apples in the hands of the angels. And this is to remind us that Mary and her child are reversing the effects of the fall. This is the fruit of her womb is now the fruit of our redemption. So huge layers of theological literacy in the way that these medieval artists painted Mary. Another much earlier medieval one, I think this came from the Wooldridges, you're allowed to open this one. This is Macmillan Cancer Support with a touch for human suffering, and it's a picture of the flight into Egypt. It was yours then, Mike. So this is very simply drawn, just the figures. Mary in the centre, quite awkward but dignified, sitting side saddle just after giving birth. Can you imagine it? Tromping off to Egypt with the babe in her arms. And you can see how the babe is supported there. He's just held with what looks like a sling round Mary's neck, looking a little bit... dodgy, really. I hope he's going to be safe. And Joseph is walking ahead of them, again looking very anxious, constantly a backward look. Are they being pursued? There's a manservant at the back who seems to be shoving the ass along to get a move on and get them safely out to Egypt. And even overhead, a couple of the angels who are watching the scene are looking back over their shoulders as if they're being pursued. And this is Mary of the refugees. We might say. I could go on. The last one comes from the bishop. Did you get this one from Bishop Stephen? I said I have wide friends. He sends me a card. Anyway, yes. Yeah. You got to. And this is our gospel reading, the Annunciation scene. Not the Fra Angelico, which I love deeply. It's a very still and very mystical kind of scene. This is a very modern, contemporary Annunciation by John Heywood, and it's in the church at Washcommon, out near Newbury, in their Lady Chapel. And it's a modern take on the Annunciation, which is, to my mind, it's much more fleeting. It's almost a kind of Instagram of the event rather than a deep reflection on it, a snapshot of Mary, a snapshot of the angel caught in this conversation, and something enormous is taking place, and the two of them are almost portrayed in two very different worlds, but whoosh, a moment of meeting where time stands still as something of eternity comes to be invited. What a range. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed be the fruit of thy womb, Jesus, down every generation. And all of us, I guess, putting our projections, our reflections onto Mary, as we do on our own mothers. We project images of ourselves, we try to work out our own identity, our own vocation, through our reflections on the lives of those who go before us. But just a few thoughts to offer of how we may continue to ponder, to pray on the role of Mary for our own lives this Christmas. And I'm going to offer three of the well-known names for Mary for us to keep. First, she is the God-bearer. She was given the title Theotokos in the Council of Ephesus way back in the 5th century Council of the Church, and a title that she proudly carries as she stands bearing her child for the whole world. She will stand through all the sorrows and pains of his ministry. She will be there for all the joys and the glory. She will be exhausted, she'll be misrepresented, she'll be hounded out of the city. A sword will pierce her own heart, but she will bear that child for the world. And this is not the easy acquiescence of a teenage girl. This is a long obedience of a very, very committed life. Mary, the God-bearer, who I think stands for all of our vocations in many ways, to carry Christ into our world. Whatever that will involve in our lives, we will play our part in the redemption of God's world. She's the God-bearer. She's the new Eve. That was another very, very early title in the church. They loved symmetry, these early fathers, and they would look at the story, the myth of the Garden of Eden and the role of Eve, and they'd look at the story and the kind of mythical elaborations of Mary and say, yes, there is Adam, there is Christ, there is Eve, there is Mary, there is the fall of humanity and all the terrible things that were dragged down through the apple that Eve took. And there is the rise and the hope for humanity in Mary bearing the fruit of her womb. And she becomes this new Eve who represents a whole new dignity, not just for womanhood, but for all humanity. And that courageous Mary, that door-opening Mary, is a Mary that has been embraced by many contemporary women who stand against some of the misogynist portrayals of women and of Mary down the generations. She's a new Eve who can counter some of those toxic misrepresentations that destroy not just women, but all humanity. She finds her voice. She finds her calling. She fulfills her destiny and works our redemption. So the last one for all of us, she is the mother of all believers. The first, the greatest disciple, the first worshipper, faithful witness to Christ in his life and death and resurrection. She leads where all of us follow, not just, please, today as that idealized representation of beauty or of piety, but as a great and resilient symbol of all that is faithful in our humanity and all that is true in our love of God. Hail Mary, full of grace. Amen.